Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend's readings are from the third Sunday of Easter. Let's go to our checklist. Number one, do you have time for God? Check. Is your heart open wide for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to these four questions, my friends, you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 14 and 22 to 33. And here it is. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and proclaimed, "You who are Jews, indeed all of you staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words. You who are Israelites, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God with mighty deeds, wonders, and signs, which God worked through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This man, delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God, you killed, using lawless men to crucify him. But God raised him up, releasing him from the throes of death, because it was impossible for him to be held by it. For David said to him, 'I saw the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand I shall not be disturbed. Therefore my heart has been glad and my tongue has exulted. My flesh too will dwell in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. My brothers, one can confidently say to you about the patriarch David that he died and was buried, and his tomb is in our midst to this day. But since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him, that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne, he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that neither was he abandoned to the netherworld, nor did his flesh see corruption. God raised Jesus, of this we are all witnesses, exalted at the right hand of God. He received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father, and poured him forth, as you see and hear. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." And in the book of Acts, my friends, we are given a tremendous word from the apostles. Once again, "You who are Israelites, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God, with mighty deeds, wonders, and signs, which God worked through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. this man delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God, you killed, using lawless men to crucify him. And so, through the word here in the book of Acts, we are given verification that the Lord Jesus Christ was killed. And yes, indeed, my friends, he was killed and was crucified on the cross more than 2,000 years ago. And we just celebrated the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ once again, as we have for centuries, millenniums. But there are those who don't believe, my friends. And so the story must be told. The story must be shared with love, with zeal and enthusiasm, with great compassion for those who have no faith, those who ignore the word of God, those who are opposed to the word Jesus itself. This, my friends, is a revelation that God has given us. And through the word of God, we have opportunity to share our faith in Jesus Christ and what happened 2,000 years ago. And the word in the book of Acts goes on to say this: but God raised him up, releasing him from the throes of death, because it was impossible for him to be held by it. And the Lord has the power to lay his life down and to raise it up once again. He and only he can do that. And he has given us this tremendous opportunity to grow in faith as he sacrificed his life and took the beating of a lifetime for us, so that we would be beneficiaries of heaven itself, that our inheritance, which is held for us in heaven, is available for us if we believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, if we believe with our hearts and confess with our tongues that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is available for us, my friends. And the word says that it was impossible for him to be held by death, because only Jesus Christ can raise himself up, as he did on Resurrection Day, also known as Easter Sunday for us, and from Good Friday, where the Lord was put to death on the cross, to Easter Sunday. We have documentation in the Word of God, the Bible itself, that this took place. And we have opportunity, my friends, to go forward with a closer relationship to Jesus. But once again, we must believe with our hearts. Is your heart open wide for God? Or is it closed? Is it cold? God's calling us to open our hearts and minds and to acknowledge the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, to acknowledge the power of Jesus to overcome death and to actually raise himself up through the Holy Spirit and our Father in heaven, who gives him that power to live again. And we acknowledge once again that God raised Jesus, and that we are all witnesses of this. In the word today, if you are a witness and you believe what you are reading, believe with your heart, then we go forward, my friends, and we confess with our tongues that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we share that message with as many people as we can. This, my friends, is our calling. And at a time in our nation today and in our world where many people are atheistic, agnostic, who are opposed to the message of the gospel, opposed to the commandments given to us by God our Father through Moses on Mount Sinai. There are those who opposed. So God brings like-minded people together for the greater good, to help build the kingdom of God here on earth. And it's up to you and I, my friends, because we are all witnesses that God raised Jesus from the dead. And we are called to share that statement, share our thoughts and our feelings about Jesus Christ and what it means to us that he died for us, that he rose from the dead, saved us from our sins, and gives us access to eternal life. This, my friends, is important to me, and it should be important to you too. Let's go to our second reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 to 21. And here it is. Beloved, if you invoke as Father him who judges impartially according to each one's works, conduct yourselves with reverence during the time of your sojourning, realizing that you were ransomed from your futile conduct, handed on by your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a spotless, unblemished lamb. He was known before the foundation of the world, but revealed in the final time for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the reading from 1 Peter today, my friends, God's calling us to conduct ourselves with reverence during our time of sojourning. Reverence, also known as a deep respect. And this is something that we are called to do, to give God a higher level of respect, to reverence him, to make the sacrifice for him, for all that he did for us. Remember, God our Father gave us our Lord Jesus Christ as a gift to the world. And that gift to the world gives us access to eternal life with our Father in heaven. He wants us home once again. So what are we willing to do today, tomorrow, the next day, this year, in terms of reverencing Jesus and our Father in heaven? Reverence for the Holy Spirit who resides within us. Do we acknowledge our Lord in all things? Do we look to please him as often as we can? Once again, he calls us to a higher standard, to reverence during our time of sojourning. God calls us to truly emulate our Lord Jesus Christ. The word says that the precious blood of Christ, as of a spotless, unblemished lamb, because the Lord was without sin. And we too, my friends, need to strive for a sin-free life by accumulating the attributes of Jesus. The only way to do that would be to get to know Jesus Christ, get to develop an intimate relationship with him, where we rely on him. We are dependent on him. All good things come from God. And the Lord says this in the book of Psalms, that the steps of a good man is in order from the Lord. to be a good man, you and I have to remain sin-free. It's hard to do, but it's our calling. So we strive to live a sin-free life. And we strive to do that today. And if you're out there listening and you need to make some changes in how you live your life to uphold that calling to live a sin-free life, then there is no time like the present to get started, my friends. God is calling us to really emulate Jesus. Again, the precious blood of Christ, as of a spotless, unblemished lamb. That's where we want to be. That's the goal. And we are so far from that. But God calls us to that place of existence. And the word from 1 Peter says this, that Jesus was known before the foundation of the world, but revealed in the final time for us. Before the foundation of the world, my friends, the Lord was there in the beginning. He was there 2,000 years ago. He's here today with us. And he is powerful before the foundation of the world. So with that, we have a lot to talk about with other people about the topic of Jesus Christ and what he means to the world. He has been there from the beginning. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Okay? So we must acknowledge, no longer can we make the Lord and our Father in heaven an obligation, last on the list. We must elevate our faith in God to the number one position and submit to comply with the Lord's request that the steps of a good man is an order from the Lord. And we are called, as we are made in God's image, we are called to live a good life, to be good men, good women, good husbands and wives, good mothers and fathers, good grandparents. The Word of God says that God raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that our faith and hope are in God. So he raised Jesus from the dead, our Father in heaven did, so that our faith and hope are in God. It's a faith increaser. Like the Eucharistic miracles and the apparition sites around the world of our Blessed Mother Mary, the Lord's passion, death, and resurrection are a faith increaser. They are there for us to lift us up, to get us home to heaven, ultimately. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. This we have to remember. It's not automatic. We can't eliminate Jesus, because he is the vehicle by which we enter the Father's presence. No one comes to the Father except through the Son, Jesus Christ. And if that's where you and I are called to be, then we need to make some definite plans, definite changes to act accordingly so that we can get to be home with the Father one day. God calls us, my friends, to a higher standard. It's not going to be easy, but he is there for us. It is our decision because we have free will. And once again, God raised Jesus from the dead and gave him all the glory so that our faith and hope are in God. If your faith and hope are not in God, where are you putting your faith today? Are you putting it into your job, corporate America, the stock market, human beings? What are you hoping for? If it's not in God, where are you putting your faith and your hope? Give it some thought. Let's be objective. Let's take action and move ourselves forward and get our children along the way to come with us on that pathway to heaven, which is where God calls us to be. Once again, this is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 to 21. And we're given a tremendous message about reverence for God. Are we irreverent, or are we striving to be reverent, offering deep respect both inside the church and outside the church, at the dinner table, in our living rooms, in our cars, in the bedroom, in the presence of our children? Are we displaying reverence for God, or are we irreverent, irresponsible, undisciplined? Is our life in chaos? Do we need to develop more discipline, self-control? God calls us to a higher standard, my friends. And if we're not in control of our lives, there's no way that we can offer reverence to Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. So if you have changes to make, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Now is the time to make those changes. Let's go to our gospel reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. And here it is. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people. How our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Since women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the woman had described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. And they approached the village to which they were going. He gave the impression that he was going on farther, but they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, "The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon." Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Luke today, my friends, we are identifying the great words that are given to us each and every week as we attend Sunday Mass and even daily Mass. And here it is, "As it happened, that while he was with them at the table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were open and recognized him." So we identify the breaking of the bread that we are encountering with each and every Mass that we attend. And their eyes were opened. They recognized Jesus in the breaking of the bread. My question for you and I, my friends, is this: are your eyes open fully, or are we blinded to our faith? Do we need to be inspired, motivated? Do we need a wake-up call once again? Are your eyes open? Do you recognize Jesus when you are in the church? Or has it become routine? Are you bored? Are you disengaged from the Word of God and the prayers? Are you recognizing Jesus in your day, when you wake up, when you go about your morning or afternoon or evening? Do you recognize Jesus in your life through the goodness of other people? Or are you one of those who does not recognize Jesus, doesn't even know him, are unfamiliar with him, and have no relationship with him? Is that you, my friends? And if that is you, then right now, my friends, we pray that God the Father will enlighten the Holy Spirit within you to draw you closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. Because no one comes to the Lord unless the Father calls him, draws him in closer. So we pray that our Father in heaven will enlighten the Holy Spirit within us to draw us ever so close to our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary and Saint Joseph, and through Christ our Lord. Amen. That's our show for today. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day. God bless, and we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Clear for Takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.